What are the duties of the chairperson? It is the duty of the chair to call the meeting to order at the appointed time and ascertain if a quorum exists, to preside at all the meetings, to announce the business of the assembly in its proper order, to recognize members who are entitled to the floor, to properly state motions before the assembly, to preserve order, and decide all questions of order, that is subject to appeal by the assembly. The chair should refer to everyone in the same manner. Now, this is extremely important. In small meetings, first names can be used, but in larger meetings, last names should be used. This maintains a respectful distance between the chair and the assembly. To call someone by their first name and another by their last name could be interpreted as favoring one's position over the other when the chair is supposed to be neutral. As soon as a motion is made, anyone can second it. It is the duty of the chair to restate the motion officially for all to hear. Try to use exact words. However, if it is poorly worded, it is okay to reword it a bit with the permission of the person making the motion. If a motion is long, if it is complicated or very technical, the chair may insist that it be submitted in writing. Insist that individuals be recognized by the chair prior to their speaking. Otherwise, those with the biggest mouths and fastest lips will prevail. Individuals who do gain the floor must speak either for or against the motion. Now, what usually happens in annual church meetings is someone gets up and they begin to argue or they begin to ramble and they just start giving opinions. And as a chair, don't be afraid at all to ask for clarification of items or issues that will make your job easier and more efficient. And be sure to ask people to either speak for or against the motion. No rambling. It takes too much time. Insist that individuals who speak address the chair. When this occurs, it is easier for order to exist. In many congregational meetings, people will turn around and speak directly to the congregation or to a specific individual to whom they are arguing against, and this is totally improper. All remarks should be addressed through the chair. In small groups, this is not required, but in larger groups, it is essential. It is wise for the chairperson to have a gavel near them. And this is a visible sign to all that a formal meeting is underway and authority to exercise an effective and efficient meeting rests with the chair. It's mostly for symbolic purposes. Just tap on it lightly to call a meeting to order and tap on it lightly to adjourn the meeting. Through years of ministry, I have found several things to be of immense help to me during annual congregational meetings and board meetings. First, I always had a copy of Robert's Rules of Order near me for reference in case I needed to refer to a specific point. Usually, however, I referred more to a short list of all the motions, their purpose and their priority, and what was required of me for each one. A listing of motions and their meanings and their requirements are found in almost all books on Robert's Rules of Order. Very handy. Copy them and put them in a format that is easily accessible for quick and ready reference for you. Second, I always had the necessary organizational material that might be needed, such as a copy of the bylaws, the Constitution, a denominational manual, a statement of faith, and the like. In other words, be prepared with information you may need. Third, with controversial matters, I like to have informational meetings prior to the annual meeting itself. I often took a Sunday night or two for discussion, the airing of feelings, and the giving and receiving of information. My purpose was to detonate any bombs that were planned to go off at the annual meeting and to help people feel like they had a wonderful chance to have their say and to listen to the opinions of others. Although this is not in any way considered a meeting for Robert's Rules of Order, I believe that some guidelines should be laid down beforehand. They should be simple and they should be sweet. I emphasize that it is not a time of arguments, it's not a time of debate, but a time of understanding and a time for giving and receiving information. I want people to be fully informed prior to an annual meeting. It can work well, but caution is in order if a congregation happens to be in an ugly mood. Fourth, I like to bring people together and emphasize unity in the bond of Christ before delving into any church business. Normally, 1.5 hour was given to these community experiences. At times we would sing, break up into groups of 3 and 4 for prayer, share testimonies of how the church body has ministered to individuals, or we would celebrate communion together. And these activities softened hearts. They seemed to bring about a closer unity prior to entering into business, and it was a tangible reminder to the congregation that they were one, united together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I found these few items to help me with the church business sessions that I was involved in. There are several items that undermine a successful meeting that you should be aware of. First, ambiguous aims undermines meetings. Meetings are strengthened when the chairperson and members know the purpose of the meeting and what is to be accomplished. Meetings without a purpose and without clear goals is caustic to the cohesiveness and effectiveness of the group. Second, an unclear format brings disruption to meetings. Have you ever been involved in a meeting that went from point A to point F, back to point A, and then to point D without any order? It's like floating in a raging river. You cover a lot of ground, but you never make it to shore. Agendas are extremely important. People need to know where they are, where they're going, and how they're going to get there. Third, not understanding the budget is detrimental to decision making. It's not unusual for individuals who have been members for years to not understand the financial picture or the accounting setup of the church. After years on the board, one man finally said to me, "Pastor, what does it mean when figures are in parentheses?" Well, I was glad he asked, but I was floored to think that he had made financial decisions without being aware of what was in the black and what was in the red. It is always appropriate when new members are elected to a board to ask the treasurer to briefly review the setup and mention that any questions about any of the finances would be appreciated and welcomed. Fourth, the who does what syndrome is nasty. When individuals or committees don't understand their responsibilities, nothing gets done. As a self-check, ask yourself the following questions and see how many you can honestly say yes to. Do you conduct meetings only when there is a distinctive purpose rather than just because of schedule? Do members do their homework by analyzing documents and setting the agenda prior to the meeting? Does the person in charge know how to conduct a meeting and keep things moving? Is the meeting held in an atmosphere conducive to good discussion and decision making? Are the time boundaries of the meeting properly controlled so it doesn't go too long? Is the agenda prepared and distributed in advance with appropriate documents? Do committee members receive copies of the minutes as quickly as possible after each meeting? Are action items appropriately marked for follow-up by specific people within a specified time frame? Does each committee chairperson understand his or her role as convener and presider? Are actions of the committee reported to the appropriate authorities over them? Well, let's now talk about the agenda. Agendas are like roadmaps. They show you where you are going so you don't waste time meandering some back road hills. Some agendas are prepared buffet style. Everything is just kind of put on the table and you pick what you want to eat. However, good agendas will follow the basic order of business described earlier. Distribute the agenda and appropriate documents ahead of time so everyone has plenty of opportunity to prepare themselves for the meeting. Personalize the agenda with the individual's name on it. A good agenda is like a lighthouse. It helps you avoid the dangerous, jagged rocks in the water that could capsize the boat. make use of a well-designed agenda, and the chairperson's job is easier, and it's easier for everyone to stay on course. Well, we haven't covered all there is to know about Robert's Rules of Order and how to implement it appropriately in the church or Christian organization. However, we have examined some important issues that provide you with a solid foundation to help make meetings more efficient and productive. And it is well worth your time to become proficient in this area, as you will either be a member in or a chairperson of a meeting in your church. This concludes our study of performing ministry responsibilities with confidence. It is only a start. It's a platform from which to build. And it is my hope, since all of these aspects are regular, recurrent functions in the life of a minister, that you would view them as something to be learned, something to be mastered, and areas where improved proficiency means more impactful ministry. May God richly bless you as you minister for Him. This is the end of number 8.